And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. On one of the bookshelves in my office, there is a painting, and it was given to me years ago by my younger brother. He painted it during a horrific time in his life. You see, it was just before his fifth deployment in the Army, and he admitted himself into a hospital in Texas. He had been struggling with a lot of thoughts of suicide and post-traumatic stress disorder. So thankfully, he reached out for help, and he ended up hospitalized for a year. One of the things that he found to be helpful in the process of healing was painting. And this is the painting that I keep in my office from him. You see, back in 312 AD, Constantine was approaching the city of Rome with his army. And Rome was controlled by Maxentius, who had an army that was four times the size of Constantine. And so in a time of desperation, the legend has it that Constantine had a dream, and he prayed to God before he had that dream. He prayed to God for help, and he was given a vision in this dream, and the vision included a cross of light. And after he woke up from that vision, Constantine then ordered that all of his soldiers under his command paint the Kairo, the Greek symbol for Christ, on their shields before they went into battle. And so that is actually what this painting is intended to be. This painting is intended to be a shield of the Kairo, the symbol for Christ. With the image of Christ leading the way on their shields, Constantine and his army, though vastly outnumbered, won a decisive victory. And a year later, Constantine ushered in the Edict of Milan, which ended the persecution of Christians throughout the Roman Empire, as religious tolerance was established throughout the entire land. Though I don't know for sure, as many of you know, I haven't been in contact with my brother for 13 plus years. But I like to think that my younger brother was filled with comfort and confidence as he kept that painting before him of the Kairo, that shield before him that he had painted during a great time of suffering. Well, in our text for today, we're given more than a symbol. We're given more than a symbol seen in a vision or a dream. We are welcomed into a picture by way of the word. Actually, we are given a glimpse into the glory of God's Son. For just as Constantine and his army faced great odds against them, so it was going to be for Peter, James, and John, these three disciples that were with Jesus, and so it is for us as we live the Christian life. God gives his disciples and us a glimpse into the glory of God's Son to hold on to as we press forward in life, to give us both comfort and confidence. You see, it was only 6 days before our text took place and they went up into that mountain, 6 days before our text, that Jesus had told his disciples some pretty tough stuff to hear. He told them he was headed to Jerusalem, and there he would suffer many things. He would suffer, he would die, he would actually be killed, not just simply die, and then on the third day he would rise. But likely they weren't focused on the rising part. They were focused on the suffering part, the dying part. I mean, has that ever happened to you? Someone tells you, "I've got good news and bad news." And then after they get done telling you the good news and the bad news, no matter how good the good news was, it really doesn't matter because all you can hear still in your head is the bad news. No doubt that's the way it was for the disciples. To hear that their teacher would be suffering and dying was no small thing. After all, what are they putting together here? They're realizing, wait a second, if Jesus is going to be suffering and dying and I am following Jesus, what does that mean for me? Well, Jesus tells them what that's going to mean. He says that if you are going to be following me, you also are going to be taking up your cross. And so that means that you, followers of Jesus, are going to be suffering as well, and possibly even die. Have you ever gotten more than you bargained for? Because that's probably the way the disciples were feeling at that point. Have you ever had that moment in life, well, you agreed to do something? Maybe it was a volunteer position or a job, and well, it ended up entailing a lot more than you originally thought. No doubt that's going through the disciples' minds as they're thinking, yes, I agreed to follow you, Jesus, but really, that isn't exactly what I signed up for. And I look in the contract, I don't see that there, at least in my head anyway. Not quite the plan, at least for me. So with all of this suffering speech still kind of swirling around in their mind, Peter, James, and John, they ascend up the mountain with Jesus, and then all of a sudden, there he is transfigured before them. He becomes bright white and light and all of that, and they're given a glimpse into the glory of God's Son. Now pause right there. The disciples were given a glimpse. Now, a glimpse is not a permanent reality. A glimpse is a momentary reality. It doesn't last. No matter how hard Peter wanted it to last there up on the mountain, when Peter was like, hey, I got an idea. Let's build some tents right now, and let's just stay up here on the mountain and everything. I'll take care of this. We've got one for Moses. We got one for Elijah. We got one for Jesus. My family asked the other day, did the disciples actually think about themselves? They didn't really think about tents for themselves. I guess they were just going to sleep outside. But no matter how hard Peter was trying to consider the fact that he was trying to make them to stay, a glimpse was in fact all that they were getting. So is this just a tease? I mean, what was the purpose of just simply showing them a glimpse of this momentary reality, this moment in time? Why not give them something more? Well, the glimpse was given for them to have comfort and confidence. Because there before them is Moses and it's Elijah and Jesus. And then all of a sudden this voice from God assures them that Jesus, God's beloved Son, this one is my Son. Listen to Him. Make no mistake about it. This is the guy. This is the guy that you're supposed to be following. No matter the suffering, no matter the dying, it doesn't matter. You are supposed to be following Him. Keep following Jesus. And keep the glimpse of His glory in your mind. Because it's not going to be long. They're going to be descending down the mountain into the valley, and it's not going to be long, and the disciples would see Jesus suffer and die in the worst way. You can imagine how that would impact them internally, how it would discourage them. They were going to witness His unlawful trial and His conviction. They would witness His bleeding and suffering. They would witness His crying out and His last breath as He died. And knowing all of this was going to happen, God graciously gave those disciples a glimpse into the glory of God's Son to hold before them. Keep this image in mind. It's His way of showing them that no matter how bad things get, in the end, don't worry about it, because Jesus wins. Because after all Jesus does is win. Because when you and I follow Jesus, we're not following a loser, we're following a winner. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The echo of the empty tomb rings true in our lives here today as well. We have no need to fear, Jesus is here. Like Constantine ordered his soldiers to paint that symbol of the Cairo on their shields as they went into their battle, so it is with us. We go out into the world, into a battlefield, into our vocations, week after week, and we do so filled here today with the comfort and confidence of Christ with us, and that Christ goes before us. Our sins are forgiven. Our salvation is secured. Done deal. It is finished. But until that eternal salvation is fully realized, we do need to know Just like the disciples needed to know as they descended down that mountain, that suffering precedes glory. Jesus went to the cross and then to the empty tomb, not the other way around. We are called to take up our cross as well. Following Christ is not intended to be easy. And yet, how many of us would honestly admit that in the comfort and confidence that we have been given in Christ and the victory won for us, that we have grown comfortably complacent in our faith? Most of us would likely admit that we don't like to be uncomfortable in general, right? Our faith is often no different. Let's ask ourselves. Are we bold? Are we bold in our witness of Christ to others in our family, our friends, our neighbors? Are we bold? Are we keeping that glimpse of the glory of God's Son before us and confidently living in that echo of the empty tomb? Are we bold? Or are we comfortably complacent, settled on remaining silent, keeping the conversation safe because we don't want to upset the proverbial apple cart in the relationships of our lives? Do we have a genuine desire to seek and save the lost, recognizing that, well, there are people going to hell? Are we willing to speak a loving word of law to the loved one who has wandered from being in the house of the Lord to actually say to them, I am concerned about you. I am concerned that you have separated yourself from where Christ locates himself. What about our own lives? Why is it so easy for us sometimes to simply dismiss being in the house of the Lord from one Sunday to the next? Do we look to reach out to others to reconcile with them, even if they were the ones that wronged us? Do we look to be the first one to reach out to them? Right now in our Bible class, we're talking about reconciliation, and I'd highly recommend being a part of that Bible class, unless, of course, all of your relationships are perfect. If all of your relationships are perfect, that's awesome. I don't believe they are, because we live on earth. Yeah. So this is a great opportunity to be able to be fed and nourished by God's Word, so that it's God's Word leading us in that life of reconciliation. Are we bold in our witness, living in Christ's comfort and confidence, or have we become comfortably complacent? You see, after Jesus died, rose, and ascended into heaven, the disciples were given the same gift of the Holy Spirit that we were here blessed to witness as Chris received here in his baptism today. Same Spirit. With the glimpse of the glory of God's Son still in their minds, they advanced the gospel in the face of great persecution. Tradition has it that all of the disciples except for two were martyred for their faith. The only two, Judas, he hung himself, and John, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Otherwise, tradition has it that the rest died for their faith. The point is this. We also have been given that same glimpse into the glory of God's Son in His Word. You are welcomed into it today. His Spirit is alive and well within us from the day of our baptism on. We're not alone. And where fear enters in, just like He did with the disciples there, He reaches out and He touches us with His body and His blood to assure us, have no fear, I am here, I'm right here, come to my table and I will give you more than a glimpse into my glory. This is where I invite you to taste and see that I am in fact good. This is where our sins of complacency are not only forgiven, but it's where our faith is nurtured and it is strengthened for the journey ahead. You have exactly what you need. Don't think that somehow you're ill-equipped for the conversations. You got Jesus. He's with you. You can be bold and courageous because you have the bold and courageous Son of God with you. You have the transfigured, crucified, a resurrected, ascended Christ alive and well within you. You have no fear. Jesus is here, right with you, right for you. He's got your back. He's walking ahead of you. He's carrying you in the palm of his righteous right hand. He's all up in your business. Jesus is there with you and for you all the time. And so before closing today, I'd just like you to think about something. I want you to think about that family member. I want you to think about that friend or that neighbor. Think about that someone who's wandered from the faith, who separated themselves from God's house or separated themselves in some way from the Lord. Think about that person that doesn't know Jesus at all. And I want you to think about that person. And I would like you to pray with me. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have welcomed us into your presence. In word and sacrament, you have given us a glimpse into your glory, and you have assured us that our salvation is secure. And that as we depart today, you will be with us. Move us from comfortable complacency in our faith to live in the comfort and confidence of the crucified and risen Christ. Make us bold for you, no matter the suffering, no matter the cost. Make us bold. Help us to take up our cross and follow you, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us. As you desire all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, align our priorities to be the same as yours. And use us as your instruments to share Christ and his love. For without you, we would ruin everything. In the name of Jesus, amen.